The next 25 years of Amazon, yep, you guessed it, world domination. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, Demystifying the Digital Economy. I'm Molly Wood. Amazon turns 25 this week, and if you look back at 1994 at a tiny online retailer that just sold books, most people would not have thought it would turn into a company that touches how we shop, how we compute, watch TV and movies, and actually, still yes, how we read books. And it made us wonder if someone could predict what the next 25 years of Amazon might look like, such as a futurist. Friend of the show, Amy Webb, is the founder of the Future Today Institute. She says Amazon's ambitions are everywhere, providing cloud services to the U.S. government, biometric scanning, AI, healthcare, space, and all the little Alexa gadgets that are keeping tabs on you in the house.
Once the boxes and the things that we've ordered arrive at our homes, the data pipeline gets shut off. If you're suddenly now talking to all of the different devices in your home, speakers, microwaves, refrigerators, medicine cabinets, that data pipeline gets turned back on. That's important because it opens up new possibilities for data collection. All kinds of additional biometric data, like what's their emotional state? Mm-hmm. Has the cadence of their voice changed? Are they manic? Are they depressed? I mean, we're talking about a significant ecosystem, which in many ways is making our lives easier.
Right.
But the ways in which that's, you know, happening is pretty invisible to us.
Well, now, part of your job then and other potential roadblocks is to imagine different scenarios for how the future could go. In this most recent digital trend report, several of those scenarios hinge on regulation. What are the dangers for Amazon there?
You know, this is not 1984. So I don't think it's analogous to AT&T and AT&T getting broken up into baby bells in the 80s. At that point, we were talking about a powerful but relatively singular kind of technology. Today, we're talking about technologies that aren't siloed, technologies that in fact power the other pieces and parts of the ecosystem. So if you were to try to come in and break up Amazon because you feel like Amazon has an outsized influence, I'm not entirely sure how you could even do that. And also, we kind of rely on them. I mean, it's not like the federal government has a pocket cloud, like a second cloud sitting around waiting to get used.
Is there competition?
Absolutely. So a huge part of their business is the cloud, and Microsoft is an enormous competitor in that space. When we're looking at e-commerce, Alibaba could pose a serious threat to Amazon. The challenge here is that there's no transparency. So there's no transparency into how our data are being scraped and used. There's not a lot of understanding around how decisions are being made. This is the challenge that Amazon faces over the next 25 years. How does the future of government and how does competition get fostered and how does everybody win in an era in which our democracy and the laws that we have don't necessarily play well with the way that our technology has evolved?
Right. Let's talk about the book for a second, The Big Nine, How the Tech Titans and Their Thinking Machines Could Warp Humanity. There's a lot in there about AI, of course. One of these companies is Amazon. And I wonder, do we want to keep Amazon from warping humanity? Like when you say warp, is that in the bad way?
Oh, it's in the bad way. And there's no reason to sugarcoat it. The scenarios that I describe in detail are driven by data. And there's one in which things turn out pretty well. And there are two in which things definitely do not turn out well, not just for Americans, but for everybody living today. Here's what I'll say. You know, there are nine companies that have an overwhelming amount of power and say over the artificial intelligence ecosystem. Three are in China, six are in the United States. And Amazon, I think, of those six at the moment is probably the most powerful and perhaps even the most important, or Amazon plus Google. But we're talking about some very big companies. The companies themselves, I don't think, are evil. And I don't think that the people within these companies are intentionally trying to put humanity in harm's way. I think the problem is that the systems that govern our business and the regulatory frameworks that we have relied on in the past and the geopolitical situation, which has become tenuous, I think the problem is that technology development was sort of left to do its own thing for many, many years. And we're now starting to see how, as we've rushed to commercialize some of these products and to monetize them, that AI's developmental track hasn't necessarily been thought through with, you know, humanity and with everyday people at its core focus, at the center of all of this.
So here's what I wonder, because you're super smart. You have just, you know, and you have pulled together these threads into this predictive, into this narrative. You've described Jeff Bezos also as super smart and a person who is good at connecting dots and building a narrative. At what point, given the power that you've described, is it also Amazon's responsibility to connect those dots and predict that, and, you know, follow that same narrative and operate the business accordingly? You know,
the point is now. It has always been Amazon's responsibility. It has always been Google's responsibility.
Do you see any sign that that's happening? Or is business still the first goal?
We are in a situation where we've got publicly traded companies that have a fiduciary responsibility to their shareholders. And we have CEOs who have grand plans for the future. Money is what they need. Mm-hmm. They don't need activist board takeovers. They don't need problems with the markets, you know, that will derail some of their plans. So the problem is it's a systems level issue. Now, that being said, I absolutely do not buy when I hear, you know, Facebook is one of these companies, you know, when I hear executive level leaders say, we were just focused on the product, we're just building an X, you know, and they are shirking next order implications. If it's the case that we get to a point where things went awry, it's not because it was an accident. It's not because nobody saw it coming. It's very likely in these cases because somebody made a decision that prioritized speed over safety.
Also, to be fair, the ambition could be smaller. Like Jeff Bezos could take Amazon private and still accomplish a lot of things, but clearly not all of the things that he wants to accomplish on the way to world domination. Like, it seems like there's sort of an inherent tension there because the God complex is overriding the responsibility to not warp humanity.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you this. I don't know him personally. I know some
or Mark Zuckerberg. I should be fair, right. Like Mark Zuckerberg or Tim Cook, or, you know,
we don't hang out and play tennis on the weekends. I don't know these people personally. And I think you do if you are running an organization at this level. You know, I work with a lot of CEOs and executive teams all around the world. I think if you are playing at their level, you have to fit a certain psychological profile, I think, in order to achieve that kind of success. But I think, again, you know, any smart person who is working on the future knows that it's not just about finding cool new products and services. That, you know, anytime you are connecting those dots and looking down the road to see what the implications look like, you are inevitably looking at risk and opportunity. I think the test of a great leader and the test of a great American company that will withstand geopolitical change and will become the kind of company that generations from now people look back on with pride, those companies and those people are going to be the ones who modeled risk and opportunity. And when we saw risk, we, you know, it was mitigated in advance, not because it was necessarily the best financial decision, but because it was in the best interest of everybody. And I'm not trying to sound like a Pollyanna. I'm trying to be realistic here. In order for Bezos to achieve his wildest dreams, humanity is going to have to survive in the process.
Amy Webb is a futurist and author of The Big Nine, How the Tech Titans and Their Thinking Machines Could Warp Humanity. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.